or elderly, whether you're young, whether you've come here with great gladness this morning, or whether you've come here under duress, you surely must be left with a question when you hear about the life of Jesus of Nazareth. You surely must be left with a question. I cannot believe that there's anybody here this morning who's not left with some question. If you're not, then in the words of Captain Von Trapp from The Sound of Music, then you are suffering from a deplorable lack of curiosity. When you hear the life of Jesus of Nazareth, surely you're left with a question. A Canadian Baptist minister by the name of Dr. James Allen Francis said of the Lord Jesus on July the 11th, 1926, to a group of young people met in San Francisco, he said of Jesus these words: "He is the central figure of the human race. All the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned put together, have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as has this one solitary life." You must have questions about Jesus here this morning. And if you do, then you're not alone, because we're going to consider a man this morning who had a question that we read of here in verse 9. The man in question is Herod the Tetrarch. We've already met him before in chapter 3 in verse 1. He was a man who ruled over a quarter of Galilee. Galilee was about 50 miles by 25 miles, and this man would have ruled over a very small portion of that, about a quarter of it. So he was a king, but he hadn't got a great kingdom. And the question he asks here in verse 9 is, "Who is this of whom I hear such things?" Who is this of whom I hear such things? You see, he'd heard something. He'd heard both the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he'd heard about the miracles of our Lord Jesus. Verse 7, all that he had done. And not only had he heard the message, not only had he heard of what he'd done, he'd also heard of the popular assessments that it tried to explain who Jesus was. Some said Jesus must be John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Others said, no, he must be the appearing of the Old Testament prophet Elijah. Some said, no, he's one of the other prophets. Perhaps he's Jeremiah, or perhaps he's Isaiah. These are the explanations being given to explain the such things that Jesus Christ was doing. You see, what Jesus did and said, and what Jesus does today and says today, it makes an impact. And such was the nature of what he was doing that quite bizarre answers were being put forward to explain who he must be. And it does need an explanation. Don't you have the question in your heart this morning? Who is this man? And more importantly, what's your answer? The king of the day was left with a question. And he wasn't the only one. We've already seen in Luke's Gospel, the scribes and the Pharisees were left with the same question. In chapter 5, the religious leaders of the day said, "Who is this?" When they heard what Jesus said about his ability to forgive sin, they said, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Some of the things that Herod would have heard was that Jesus was going around declaring to certain individuals the forgiveness of sin. Who is this? The disciples of John the Baptist had a question. They went to him and said, "Jesus, are you the coming one, or should we look for another?" You know, who are you? Who are you? The Pharisees had another question in chapter 7 and verse 49. They were all there in the home of Simon the Pharisee. A notoriously sinful woman comes in on that occasion. She washes Jesus' feet with her tears. She wipes them with her hair. She kisses and anoints his feet. As Jesus, through a story about two people with great debts that are cancelled, explains that this woman so loves him because her enormous debt of sin has been cancelled. But it leaves the Pharisees with a question: who is this? And even Jesus' own disciples, when they're there on the lake in the boat, Suddenly there's a squall, suddenly they believe they're going to drown. Jesus is asleep, they wake him up, and what does he do? This man simply rebukes the winds and the waves, and the storm immediately comes to an end, and they're left with the question, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Questions, questions, questions. Because of what Jesus did and because of what he said. And here in chapter 9, we're heading towards that question in verse 18, which Jesus asks, who do the crowd say that I am? And then in verse 20, but who do you say that I am? That's the question for you and me this morning. Who do you say that he is? The questions go on right to the end, to the cross. If you are the Christ, tell us, are you then the Son of God? Are you the King of the Jews? If you are the Son of God, come down. Who are you? Surely you're left with questions this morning. Who is the man who's been sold to Real Madrid for £83.5 million? Who is the man who's allegedly used chemical weapons, allegedly sold to him by this great little island on his own people? Who is the one who discovered penicillin? Who is the man who invented the telephone? Who is the man who invented the World Wide Web? Questions, questions, questions. But who was it who healed the sick? Who was it who raised the dead? Who was it who spoke as no man spoke? Who was it who calmed the storm? Who was it who himself was raised from the dead on the third day? All the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together, have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. You must be left with a question this morning. Well, here in Luke's Gospel, he sets out the answer for you. Because Luke wants his readers and his hearers to be certain. Do you realise this morning God wants you to be left in no doubt at all? He wants you to be absolutely certain who Jesus is. And so Luke sets out here what Jesus did and taught. He tells us that later on in his second book in the Bible, in Acts of the Apostles. He says, in my Gospel I set out what Jesus did and taught. And that's what Dr. Luke's been doing for 8 chapters. It's what the Bible does. It's what John does in his Gospel. He says, these things have been written that you might know that Jesus is the Christ. And in believing, have life in his name. That's why these things are written. Have you got life in his name this morning? The Bible reveals to you who God is. It reveals to you who the Lord Jesus Christ is, with a purpose that you, through believing, would have life in his name. Do you know and love Jesus this morning? Do you know who he really is? Have you confessed that in your life? You see, here in chapter 9, as we said last time, it's a transition chapter. It's a change from Jesus doing all the preaching. You know, it wasn't Thomas who said this. It wasn't Bartholomew who did this. It wasn't Philip. Up to now, it's been Jesus. And then in chapter 10, he's going to send out the 70. That great transition from him to the 70, but it runs through the first 6 verses of this chapter when he sends out the 12 and anoints them with power and authority. This question here by Herod is asked just as Jesus' ministry in Galilee is nearly over, as he's about to set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem, as this key moment in Luke's Gospel is about to be reached, when Simon Peter says, you are the Christ of God. As we're about to hear the words on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Can you see who he is? He's being revealed to us all the time. And that's the wonder of the Scriptures. Over these last weeks, we've been hearing how his message and his miracles tell us who he is. We've seen him adding to the disciples and then sending him out as the mission grows. But at the heart of it all is who he really is. And I want you to accept with all of your heart this morning who he really is. It has repercussions for us. Because of who he is, you, like me, are to love him this morning with all of your heart. Because of who he is, you are to worship him. Because of who he is, you are to trust him. You're to be obedient to him and his word. Because of who he is, you're to put your trust in him. Because of who he is, you're to live for him. Because of who he is, you're to tell others, whether in jungle or in city, of who he is, because of who he is. And I wanted us simply to see this morning who he is. Maybe you do all those things. Maybe you do know him and love him and worship him. But in that case, I simply want to remind you this morning. Herod concludes here by saying that he wanted to see him. You know, my heart's desire is that you would see him here this morning, afresh in the pages of Scripture and right here in this meeting. And maybe as never before, accept who he really is. Luke's been telling us since the very beginning of the book. He tells us through Gabriel, who comes to the Virgin Mary. And Gabriel says, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." That's who he is this morning. His name is Jesus. You've heard of Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter's son. He's the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of the Most High God. He's great. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end. He will reign forever and ever. Don't you just want to stand and gaze in awe and wonder on Jesus this morning? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that's who he is. Gabriel went on to say, "That Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. He's a unique individual ever to walk this planet, God in the flesh, to leave us in wonder and in love and in praise. Who is this?" It's the real, authentic Jesus. The shepherds were out in their fields keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angels came to them there in Bethlehem, and they tell us who he is. "There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour," hallelujah, "who is Christ the Lord. Peace, goodwill toward men." Do you bow down before King Jesus this morning as the Saviour of the world, as the one who has saved you from your sin, from death, from hell, as the one who has brought you peace because a punishment was laid upon him? This is the answer to Herod's question, who is this? He's the Saviour of the world. He alone can save you from your sin. In Luke chapter 3, a voice from heaven tells us who he is. The Father speaks at Jesus' baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." That the testimony of the Father. Who is this? Here is the eternal Son in the flesh, Jesus. As Jesus makes clear when he goes into the synagogue at Nazareth, he is God's promised Messiah and King. As he reads the Old Testament scriptures from Isaiah, where God speaks of one who would come and bring good news for the poor and the prisoner and the blind and the overwhelmed, Jesus then says, as he rolls up the scripture, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I am that one that God has promised." Here is the Messiah. So we have the testimony of the angels, we have the testimony of the Father, we have the testimony of Jesus, we have the testimony of the demons. Remember, Jesus goes into the synagogue at Capernaum, and there a demon says, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. You are the Christ, the Son of God." Remember, the demons there in Legion said, "What are I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" They're telling us all the time who he is, as Simon Peter is about to do in this chapter. "This is the Christ of God." As the Father is going to declare again from the mountaintop, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And I want simply to ask you this morning, don't you know and love him in his matchless fullness this morning? You might get the train down to London, you might go to Madame Tussauds, you might stand there and look at your hero or your heroine, you might look all the way around them, the side, the front, the different facets, different shades of lights, look round and gaze them all the way round. When did you last gaze on Jesus? and see him in all of his majesty and his splendor. And know and be moved and be transformed, maybe afresh, by who he is. By who he is. That was Herod's question. The Herod we read of here is Herod, who was the son of Herod the Great. It's not the same Herod who was around when Jesus was born. That was his father. This Herod here is known as Herod Antipas. He's not the Herod we read of in Acts chapter 12 either, who was eaten with worms and died. That's Herod Agrippa. This is Herod Antipas, who ruled for 42 years. We've already seen this Herod is a wicked man. This man has married his brother's wife, who actually was his own niece. So here is an incestuous, forbidden relationship that this man has entered into. You'll remember that John the Baptist came along and rebuked him, not only for this, but, and I quote from the Bible, and for all the evils which Herod had done. There were many others. He's an evil man. And as a result of being rebuked by John, Herod imprisons him, though we read that Herod liked to hear him gladly. And we read that Herod feared him, knowing him to be a just and holy man. And we read that Herod protected him, and yet in the end, when in a sense he was tricked at the banquet, he had him beheaded. This is the same Herod. But this wicked man has still got a question about Jesus. Why? Because he's come to hear. Because news has reached the palace. Maybe it's gone out from the 12 that Jesus has just sent out. Maybe it's come from Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, who was the chief steward, as we saw back in chapter 8. Maybe it's come from his courtiers and his friends. They said to him, "Hey, have you heard about this Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? Have you heard what he's going around saying? Have you heard what he's doing?" And Herod, this wicked man, this king over quite a little part of Galilee, he is the message and he is the miracle. And then he hears of the explanation that's been given, and he's left perplexed in an utter dilemma. It means he doesn't know which way to turn. He just can't sort it out. Because he's heard of all that Jesus has done. You see, somebody's come to Herod and said, "You know, Herod, have you heard? The Jews were meeting in that synagogue in Capernaum recently. It's only a few months ago on the Sabbath, and this man Jesus stood up, and everybody says that he taught as nobody else ever taught. He didn't teach like the rabbis and the teachers of the law and the scribes. But there in that meeting, a man with an unclean spirit was forced to cry out in a loud voice, 'Leave us alone, have you come to destroy us?' And Jesus rebuked the spirit and said, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And he did. The demon just left. Have you heard of the authority over Jesus as he teaches it, and his power over darkness?" And just that very same day, he went to the home of with his friend Simon Peter and the disciples, to his mother-in-law. And she was greatly sick. And have you heard? Jesus just stood over her and instantly healed her. And she got up and she immediately started serving them all. He just rebuked the fever that was in her, and she was ever so sick, and in an instant it left her. And while the sun was setting that day, while the very shadows were lengthening, people brought all the sick and those with demons to him, and he laid hands on all of them and healed them, all of them. He put the local NHS clinic completely out of business in a day. He healed all of them. Have you heard this, Herod? Have you heard what's been going on? Have you heard that one day his disciples had been out in a boat and they'd been fishing and they caught nothing? As they came back in weary and pretty fed up, he just said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon Peter the fisherman thought, "That's a pretty stupid idea, really. I've been out there all night and I've caught nothing." But nevertheless he said, "Because you say so, I will." And when he put down his nets, he caught that many fish, they needed another boat to come and help him with the catch. Have you heard what this Jesus is doing? Have you heard that lepers are coming to him? The unclean, the vile, the excluded are coming to this Jesus. I mean, they shouldn't be there in the crowds, but they're coming to him and saying, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And he's turning around and saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." and his cleansing happens. You know, on one occasion in Capernaum, Herod, you know, there's a mass of people in the house because Jesus was teaching, and four friends brought a paralytic friend of theirs. They couldn't get into the meeting. So they went up the steps on the outside of the house and they broke through the tiles and they dropped him. And as he came down, we're all there, we saw him come boom, 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 boom. He comes to the floor in front of Jesus and Jesus turns around and says, "Friends, your sins are forgiven you." Have you heard what he's doing, what he's saying, what he's doing? And because he knew what was in the hearts of those who were already mucking against him, he said, "Which is it easier for me to say, 'Your friend, your sins are forgiven you,' or 'Get up and walk'? But that you might know that the Son of Man has power and authority to forgive sins," he turned to the man and said, "Get up and walk." And what happened? The man got up and walked. And that, of course, was not only a demonstration too of his power and authority over the disease, it was a demonstration of his power and authority over sin, Herod. Have you heard what this man is doing? You know, he went into Nain recently. As he was going into Nain, a funeral procession was coming out, a widow with her only son. He was lying there on the stretcher dead. Have you heard, Herod, what happened? Jesus went up to the stretcher and said to the dead man, "Arise." Herod, have you heard? He got up. He lived again. Herod, have you heard that this man has power over the storms and over darkness and over demons and over death? It's not long since he's gone into a room where Jairus' daughter was and she was dead, and he said to her, "Talitha cum, little girl, get up." And do you know what happened, Herod? When this man who preaches his kingdom spoke, she got up. She was raised from the dead. These are the things that Herod would have heard. As Jesus demonstrated his power and authority and his immense compassion. And King Herod is perplexed as the rest of them. On one occasion he seems to have said, "This is John, whom I beheaded." But then he says, "Well, who is this? Because I did behead John. Who is this? Is it Elijah? Is it Isaiah?" It needs an explanation. This man that was doing something that no one else has ever done. This man was making astonishing claims. Who is he? And of course, at the heart of Herod's question and response is actually opposition and unbelief. As we see later on. "Oh, we wanted to see Jesus, but only for a miracle." He was quite happy to scoff at him and ridicule him when he actually did meet with him. I would suggest to you briefly why. Because Jesus' message was of a kingdom. And Herod was a king. And he didn't like the thought of another king. And Jesus' message was that the kingdom of the eternal God had come in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that all are to bow the knee and bow the heart to the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus. And we're to enter his kingdom by repenting and believing in him. And of course, Herod had his fill of John the Baptist preaching repentance to him, and now there comes this king preaching his kingdom, and the way in is repentance. To turn from sin and to believe upon him. And Herod's sinful heart is simply too stubborn, too arrogant, too full of himself. This morning you must surely be left with a question. All the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned together, have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. She's just gone down the steps. That's it. There you are. Seeking the lost, you see. Seeking the wandering. None of those parliaments, none of those kings have ever affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as the life of Jesus. Herod had a question. The Pharisees and scribes had a question. The disciples of John the Baptist had a question. Jesus' own disciples asked. Pilate asked. Don't you have a question this morning? A question that the Bible clearly answers for you. Because God wants you, whoever you are this morning, he wants you to be certain. That's why he reveals to you in his word the true identity of Jesus. Sometimes through the words of angels, sometimes through the words of the Father, sometimes through demons, sometimes through his disciples, sometimes through the lips of Jesus himself. It's all made plain to you. But the story didn't end at chapter 9. This same Jesus went, as eternity had ever planned, to a cross on Calvary, where he, the great and awesome God in flesh, the very God that we have all sinned against, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But this same God appears on earth in flesh to go to a cross to lay down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. To pay the penalty for our transgressions and our iniquities. To pay the price for that sin which separates us from God and fits us for an eternal conscious torment. This great God who was so offended, has so loved us, that he's come in the person of Jesus to be forsaken and punished for sins not his own, but were yours and mine. And this same Jesus rose from the dead the third day, showing that that sacrifice which he willingly gave was acceptable to God. And that same Jesus then ascended into heaven and he's at the Father's right hand this morning, and one day he's going to come again and gather to himself all who trusted in him. He will say to others, depart from me. And that's why we close with the spotlight unashamedly on you this morning. Who is this of whom you've heard such things? Power over nature, power over demons, power over disease, power over death. This wonderfully compassionate Saviour, the friend and lover of sinners. The promised Messiah who is good news for those who are spiritually bankrupt, just like you and me. For not one of us here this morning is righteous, no, not one. But it's this beautiful Jesus who makes the poor rich through believing in him. He's the promised Messiah who's good news for prisoners like you under the sentence of judgment because, like me, you've broken God's law and are enslaved by sin and Satan. This beautiful Jesus alone can set you free and reconcile you to God. He's the promised Messiah who's good news for the spiritually blind, a state we are all in from birth, because this beautiful Jesus gives sight to the blind. And this Jesus is the promised Messiah who's good news for those who, like you, are weighed down by your inability to keep the commands of God. Like me, you fall so far short. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned each one to his and her own way. And yet this beautiful Jesus, through repentance and faith, brings relief. To all who trust in him, to all who enter his kingdom through repentance and faith, their sins are cancelled and they return to their rightful owner, who is the God who made them, the God who's been so good to them, and yet the God whom they are so greatly offended against. Who is this? He's the one who alone forgives sins. If the Lord kept a record of our wrongs and treated us accordingly, not one of us could stand. The desires of our hearts, the thoughts of our minds, the actions of our bodies, the words of our mouth, all fall way short of the standard God has set for us. And yet with him, there's forgiveness. Because he died on the cross for sinners. Won't you gaze upon him this morning? Won't you quieten your heart and love him? Why don't you tell him right now that you love him? When was the last time you told him you loved him? Why don't you worship him? Why don't you come and trust him? Maybe for the first time. Maybe afresh. Why don't you come and be obedient to him and turn from your disobedient path? Won't you come this morning afresh and put your hope in him? Won't you come afresh and live for him? Won't you be resolved him helping you to tell others about him because of who he is? Who is this of whom we hear such things? What's your explanation? Is it fiction? Is it fairy tale? Is it not fact? It is fact. And he is the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And he commands all people everywhere this morning to turn from their sin and to believe upon him. You, my friend, must do that. Because of who he is. Because of his beauty, because of his truth, because of his faithfulness. Because he alone is the sacrifice which God has provided and accepts for your sin. It's not your religion or your good works that are acceptable to God. Those in his eyesight are as filthy rags. The acceptable sacrifice is Jesus. Gaze on him. Come to him. Embrace him. Trust him. Throw yourself on him this morning. Because he alone is the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Hear him and trust him.